Welcome to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I invite you to join me for a conversation about how our guest is making a difference and learn how you can make a difference as well. What if addiction wasn't seen as a weakness, but as a disease? In Wisconsin, more than 1,000 lives are lost to opioids every year. And in Milwaukee County, the crisis is claiming a generation. It's time to talk about breaking stigma and saving lives. Joining me today is George Moore, founder of the G4 Recovery Foundation, and Kevin Roach, who is a board member. Their goal, or their mission, is to fight the opioid epidemic and help people seek treatment without shame. Welcome to the show today, George and Kevin.
Thank you, Jill, for having us.
It's nice to be here.
I'm happy to have you here and learn more about the organization. Stats today are staggering around this issue, like an average of 22 kids aged 14 to 18 die each week in the United States, with over 12,000 opioid overdose deaths in Wisconsin in the last 25 years. You might find it interesting and kind of sad to know that 13 is the average age of first-time drug and alcohol use. That's typically 7th or 8th grade. Maybe that's because kids can order drugs via Snapchat and have them delivered anywhere within minutes. How many of you were aware of that? I certainly wasn't. These stats aren't new to you, George. You became well aware of them after experiencing a personal tragedy. Tell us your story of how and why the G4 Recovery Foundation got started.
Thanks, Jill. Yeah, in 2016, our son went missing. He was 28 years old. When we found him, he was desperate for help. He became addicted to heroin, and his addiction started in high school after he had a sporting accident, and the doctor prescribed opioids for pain, which occurred a lot in the 2000s when he was in high school. So unfortunately, we were not aware he had an addiction problem. I grew up in the 70s, we were drinking beer and smoking weed, so we weren't familiar with the heroin epidemic, my wife or I, or my daughter even. So we were totally blindsided by this. And, we took him to the emergency room. They weren't accepting people that were addicted into the hospital then. We couldn't find a detox facility. Really just for treading water. We didn't know anything about, how to go about to help our son, get better. So unfortunately, he detoxed at home. It was the worst 3 days of my family's life. He had some heart issues, so we got him to the hospital. They admitted him because of the heart issues. And then eventually we got him into 28-day rehab in Wauwatosa at Aurora's Dewey Center. So he was there 28 days. We were able to visit him. We were able to take him to church, etc. We thought he was really doing well. So did all the people at Dewey, the psychiatrist and the counselors. But unfortunately, when he got out, he relapsed, and we found him dead on the basement floor of his home in Bayview. So we kind of started, we did start the fund. It's the George IV Recovery Fund, named after him. It's kind of G4 for short, but we didn't want any parent to have to go through what we went through, being totally unaware. So a lot of our campaign is around awareness. We do have other strategies, but our overall mission is just to save lives. That's why we're here.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm sorry for your loss. I cannot even imagine. It's got to be the worst experience for a parent, I think. Mm-hmm. I shared that your mission is to fight the opioid epidemic and to help people seek treatment without shame. Tell us your strategy for accomplishing that.
Jill, as George mentioned, our whole mission is quite simple. It's two words: save lives. We go about this by having harm reduction and using Narcan overdose resource kits for schools, businesses, and organizations. In fact, we put the kits together in George's basement. We're a very low-cost foundation. We assemble them in George's basement, and we put them out wherever we can. We'd like to have them in every school in the state, if we can, and we'll talk more about that later. But we'll give them to any businesses that need them, who'd like them. We brought one here for you today to share with Ellen Becker Investment Group.
We thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We just want to get it out and get it available so that we can, again, fulfill our mission of saving lives. We put them together. We'll put them wherever we want. We go and we talk at various organizations like Rotary Clubs, schools, churches, wherever anybody will listen to us, to get these kits mounted so that they're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and people can use them to save lives. We've placed about 400 Narcan kits in about 265 locations around the state. So we're not just Waukesha County or Milwaukee County or anything. We've got 12 kits up in a school system in Onalaska. We've got them in Burlington. We've got them all over.
Let's stop there for a moment, because I want you to elaborate a little bit on this school piece, because there's so much info out there about the opioid epidemic in Wisconsin, some of which I talked about earlier. But tell us or elaborate on how it's especially impacting our school children.
Well, we're finding that kids are dying every day in around the country. High school kids, middle school kids, college kids are dying every day. So what we're trying to do is get legislation passed where it's mandatory that every school have an available Narcan resource kit, which has a Narcan in it, has fentanyl test strips, various things, the gloves, instructions, all those sorts of things to administer Narcan, but that it's not locked away in the janitor's closet or something like that. But if there's a basketball game at night in a high school or a middle school, Narcan is available, like next to an AED or next to a fire extinguisher or any of those other life-saving pieces of equipment that we need so that somebody can run and grab it and save a life right there.
Yeah. And as I said before, the average age is 13 of a first-time drug or alcohol user. Seventh or eighth grade, that just blows my mind. So we need to make sure that every school in the state, across the country actually, has these kits readily available. Tell us about your rehab assistance efforts in Wisconsin.
Yeah, after George got out of Dewey, we started working with other rehab facilities and primarily sober living, because what we really found out is 28 days isn't enough for inpatient recovery. You know, we found out analyzing data that if a person out of 28 days can stay 6 to 8 months in a sober living environment on campus with support, with programming, you know, they can come and go in a dormitory type environment. They have a relapse rate that goes from 90% to 50%.
Wow.
So we fund that, and we put in tens of thousands of dollars to different rehab facilities in Waukesha and Milwaukee County so people can stay longer and hopefully don't relapse and enter back into society as a productive person as they go through sobriety.
Okay. What do you work with government agencies and legislators on drug addiction programming and laws?
Yeah, we do. We lobby over in Madison. We've been doing that for probably about 4 years. We meet with senators and assemblymen. We have a policy advisor in the governor's office we work with. We're connected with DPI, Department of Public Instruction. They do many grants, addiction grants for schools. They apply. Anyone who gets a grant can have as many Narcan overdose resource kits as they want. We email information out to them. But the good news is that 3 years ago, there was only 42 applied for. The next year, 44. Last year was 92. So schools are getting it. They know they need drug education. There are no laws around mandatory evidence-based drug education in schools. Obviously, we're trying to promote Narcan accessible at all times in schools. We've been working with legislation. We've had a bill in the last session that didn't get out of the Republican caucus. We're trying again this year. It's a tough road over in Madison to get something done.
Well, how do we compare with other states?
You know,
not well.
Yeah, not well. That's a good question. We've analyzed a lot of data. I'd say we're in the bottom tier. That's probably being nice. We really haven't had a substantial law in drug addiction in 15 years. Probably the major one was 3 years ago when we decriminalized fentanyl test strips. But, you know, all states had done that. We don't have mandatory education. We don't have mandatory Narcan in schools like 28 other states. We don't have any 3-5-day opioid prescription protocols like 43 states have. Other states require people to lock up their controlled substances in their homes, you know, like pharmacies have to do. Mm-hmm. So we could definitely do a little better job.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that, actually, you know, how everybody can help. I've heard that opioid overdose deaths are down for 2024. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's because of the proliferation of Narcan. You know, the harm reduction is kind of like the first thing to go after. You know, that's what can save someone's life when they overdose. So the proliferation of Narcan in the communities over the last 2 years is just been incredible. Vending machines, overdose resource kits like we provide.
There's vending machines?
Yes.
That, really?
Yeah. There's 19 or 20 in Milwaukee County. It's probably 8 in Waukesha County. You know, they're spread throughout the state. We sponsor one at the Lighthouse where they have AANA and CA meetings. So it's really Narcan is the first response that's saving people. And a good example is in 23, Milwaukee County had 560 overdose deaths. Well, they had over 5,500 overdoses that Narcan was used. And that's reported, EMTs, hospitals, et cetera. It's probably triple that on the unreported side. So
wow.
Narcan's a lifesaver. And if, you know, you can save someone's life, he has a chance to live and become a productive individual.
That would be the goal for sure.
Correct.
Okay, so opioid overdose deaths are down, mm-hmm. due in large part to the use of Narcan. I understand that you, George, and your wife, Cindy, were motivated to start something to bring awareness to this issue and to honor your son, George's, legacy. Stay tuned to hear all about it after a short commercial break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to MPC, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. At EIG, we are committed to education. That's why we host seminars throughout the year covering topics like Medicare, estate planning, real estate investing, caregiving, personal finance, and more. And the best part? They're open to everyone. Curious about what's coming up? Visit ellenbecker.com/events and join us. We'd love to see you there.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking today with George Moore, founder of G4 Recovery Foundation, and Kevin Roach, board member. So, George, you and your wife, Cindy, did something to bring awareness to this issue of opioid overdose deaths and what can be done about it, and also to honor your son, George's, legacy. Tell us what you did and what motivated you to do it?
Well, it was primarily we didn't want any parent to be in our shoes and be totally unaware. So that's why we're really big on awareness campaign. We have social media. We actually hired a guy that does it on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We have a website that's extremely informative. You can get Narcan overdose resource kits on there. You can find out what type of legislation we're seeking to hopefully get passed over in Madison.
What is that Facebook site, just so people know?
So anyone can just go to our George4RecoveryFund.org website and learn more about our organization and find our social media outlets as well. So,
okay. Just in case somebody's listening and they want to pop over there while in the middle of this interview, they can check it out. And mm-hmm. we'll mention that again at the end. But so continue with your awareness campaign and this NarcanForSchools.com.
We met with 16 different senators in the last 6 months. And some of the questions were around awareness. So we decided to start a statewide telephone survey. And we looked at other data, and we just asked two questions when we made the phone calls. One was, we stated 22 high school kids die every week in the U.S. and over 150 fatalities reported over the last 8 years in Wisconsin. And we asked them just about their awareness level about school overdoses. And a lot of people weren't aware of the problem. So then we talked to a little bit about Narcan and how it can save lives and how we're trying to get legislation passed where Narcan's accessible 24/7 in all public and private schools. So then we asked them, would you be in favor of that? And 85% of them, which pretty much matches up with the national average of 83%, said yes. And some were astounded that it wasn't already legislated.
Yeah, I mean, my question would be who would say no and why?
Yeah.
Right?
It's just like an EpiPen, it's like an AED, and they're not mandated, but a first aid kit or whatever. It's just another arrow in the quiver to save someone's life. So, you know, we get all this information and then we bring it back to legislators, and we ended up doing an awareness campaign on broadcast TV throughout the state, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. Madison, Milwaukee, Fox Valley, Wausau, La Crosse, Rhinelander, Eau Claire. And it's around the news, sports. Maybe you've seen some of the ads, but it's pretty much an ask to call your state senator and say you support Narcan in schools. Another one is to sign a petition, and you just have to go to narcanforschools.com, put your name in, and it's one question: are you in favor of Narcan in public and private schools? And we're trying to get 10,000 signatures online.
Where are you at right now? I'm curious.
Well, probably about 20%.
Okay.
But we just
okay.
started.
So that's something everybody can do, right?
Yeah, and it's simple. It takes 30 seconds.
Right, right.
And we're really promoting it and kind of a grassroots. I mean, if you do it, you could tell your friends and family to do it. And then we take that data and we give it to senators, you know. And, you know, we've got to remember elections are coming up next year in November. So if they have a lot of constituents that care about this, then they should care about it as well. That's mm-hmm. what we're hoping for.
Well, I understand that G4 Recovery Foundation provides not only the free Narcan overdose resource kits to schools, but also to businesses and organizations that want to save a life from a potential accidental overdose. And Kevin, you talked briefly about it before, but can you elaborate on that program? So if somebody's listening and they want to put it in their place of business,
mm-hmm.
What might they do?
Yeah, I mean, they can get a hold of Kevin or I. Give you my phone number, 262-488-6747. Give me a call. It's just gemore3@att.net. You can go to our website. We actually have a tab just for the Narcan resource overdose kits. But I mean, we do a lot of organizations and associations, General Contractors Association of Milwaukee. People aren't aware that overdose deaths in the contracting world are the worst. It's 168 deaths per 100,000 employees. So you think of NML having that building reskinned down there, and there's 2,100 workers, you know, just apply the math, and there's probably going to be two or three overdose deaths.
Yeah. Wow.
And then people don't realize that how much it costs the state of Wisconsin for the opioid epidemic. And it's the criminal justice system, it's the healthcare system, it's everything in it. I'm not talking about lost productivity, but it costs the state $14.1 billion a year on average. You know, that we see on the news all the time, it's sensationalized with traffic deaths and shooting deaths. In 2024 was 1,346 for both those. Overdose deaths were 1,415. So, I mean,
it's not being brought to people's awareness
through the
media.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why we started the broadcast TV campaign throughout the state. Yeah. We might be doing billboards in the near future. So. Mm-hmm. We raise money through friends and family, businesses. We do a golf outing. And
do you have a donate button on your website?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right.
You can hit that.
Okay. If anybody's looking to jump on the support bandwagon, I'm sure.
As long as you're looking at the website, you might as well hit that button.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And again, I can't imagine people not supporting this because it impacts so many people. You may not have a son or a daughter or a granddaughter or son that have experience with this, but you probably know someone, you know. And even if you don't, just the idea to help or to be a part of helping in this cause, I think would be really wonderful. Well, I think that people, they may have their own assumptions about the why behind addictions. George, what are your thoughts on who or what is to blame for your son's overdose death?
I don't know. I mean, I actually blame myself for not being informed. That's why, you know, our organization, my wife and I and my daughter, Caitlin, who's a doctor, we decided we really need to get people aware because we look back and you can what if yourself to death. There were signs, you know, after you learn about it, after you talk to, you know, some of his friends, what was going on at parties back then, you know, it was all alcohol and oxy at these parties. So, we blame ourselves, but, you know, there's still 2.5 million opioid prescriptions that are prescribed in the state of Wisconsin, 40% by surgeons and orthopedic surgeons, 9% by dentists. In Minnesota, you can't even prescribe an opioid if you're a dentist. So why is a dentist prescribing opioids, you know, for a toothache, really? So, you know, Big Pharma, they started it all in 95, Purdue, Johnson & Johnson, and others saying that opioids, you know, are not addictive to cure pain, you know, versus occupational therapy, physical therapy, et cetera. So that's why we have all this money, you know, through the lawsuits to help, you know, awareness and getting Narcan out into the communities.
Building awareness is a big piece.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter just underwent meniscus surgery and the doctor or maybe the aftercare nurse was telling me that, yeah, she got some fentanyl for, I think it was anesthesia or something. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but I got stuck on the, wait a second, you gave her fentanyl for what reason?
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea that that is like the go-to for surgical, again, whatever. I don't know if it was anesthesia or what it was, but that's the kind of thing that people need to be aware of. That and so many of these things that you're talking about, it starts with awareness.
Yeah.
Track it.
Yeah.
Track it and stay on top of her and see how she's doing.
Yeah.
And I think part of the stigma is, you know, high school and middle school kids aren't doing heroin. You know, there's a direct connection with mental health. 20% of the kids in school, high school and middle school, have a reported anxiety, depression issue. And those kids don't run to the counselor or the school psychologist or their parents. They start drinking and doing drugs to relieve themselves, as we all know. And these kids are doing vape oils. They're doing stimulants, you know, like Adderall and Ritalin. They're doing benzoids like, you know, Xanax, Valium, Ativan.
And they can get it.
They can get it.
So easily. Yeah.
Ecstasy, Molly. But those are the drugs that the cartel puts fentanyl in, and it only takes 2 milligrams, the weight of a mosquito, for you to overdose. So just assume that if you're going to be taking a drug you bought off the street, 70% of the time it's probably going to contain fentanyl, because that's what the DEA reports.
Oh, so. Wow. So many interesting facts, statistics that you shared that I think we all should be aware of. What, in closing, George, what piece of advice would you like to share with our audience today?
I would say keep your eyes wide open. You never think your son or daughter is going to have an addiction problem, but they may. So learn about it. You know, promote Narcan and just be on top of it. Little things like, you know, when kids come over and they go down in the basement with their backpacks, a lot of times they might have alcohol and drugs in there. So make them keep their backpacks in the hallway. Just little stuff that like that. If there's a change in their friends and or motivation or some things that drugs could influence on their, you know, physical or mental behavior, Just, you know, be cognizant of that and don't be afraid to ask or confront your child when you think something's going on.
Yeah. And be aware of the plethora of resources that are out there. We're just sharing what you offer. There's other organizations out there that share similar or totally different resources, but just know that we do live in a resource-rich area. You just really need to plug in. And speaking of plugging in, you can also check out show notes for links if you'd like to do that. Thank you for being here today, George and Kevin, and for sharing your passion for helping those who are struggling with addictions. I appreciate, George, your vulnerability and sharing your personal story with the hope of helping many people so that they don't have to go through what your family did. They say that God has a way of turning pain into purpose, and it sure sounds like you were able to do that and help more people than you may ever know. So thank you both for being here today.
Thank you for having us, Joe.
You're welcome. Stay tuned next week to hear about another wonderful nonprofit in our community and how they are making a difference. And always remember, whether you're at home, at work, or out in the community, find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If something in today's conversation resonated with you, share it with a friend or family member. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe education and community impact go hand in hand. That's why we love bringing you thoughtful insights from leaders and organizations who care deeply about making a difference in Milwaukee and beyond.
Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes and to highlight philanthropic efforts in our community. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellen Becker Investment Group employees and leaders. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll see you next time.